This evening's conference will be just a little bit shorter. I don't want you to be conferenced out for the day. I wanted to continue just very briefly that metaphor that we talked about yesterday. The main topic of this conference is going to be about prayer, but I wanted to conclude our idea of a journey, a spiritual journey to overcome self, and at the same time, that spiritual journey to heaven, our true home. You will no doubt notice there are some of us that are better or worse when it comes to directions. We talked yesterday about not trusting in yourself solely for direction. But it's interesting how there is really an innate sense. Some people have it, some people don't. I know people that traveled the same exact route twice a day for 5 years and still had no idea how to get from point A to point B. And then there are those people that just have that sense. They always know where west is, know the right direction. Well, we'll figure out how to get there. And lo and behold, they tend to get there easily. So we have a different ability in this way. And this is also true in our spiritual life. Though we have to say that no one, in this spiritual sense, has a perfect sense of direction, except our Blessed Mother and the holy angels. But it remains to us that we have to improve this sense of directions. And here the similarities really cease between, okay, sense of direction, practically speaking, and sense of spiritual direction, because the only way we can increase our sense of direction in the temporal realm is to practice. There's no secret pill that can be taken. There's no meditations that can be done. We just have to practice. But in the spiritual life, there are certain things that we can do that are, for lack of a better term, excuse the expression, they're kind of like life hacks, as they say. These shortcuts to improving our sense. And really the main trick here is quite simple, because all said and done, it is God's grace that gives us an increase of that invisible sense, that makes us know where to go in our spiritual life. God gives us that. And so how do we invite this grace? How do we get more of this grace? And it's two ways: prayer and penance. If our prayer life is what it should be, and we can manage to add to this mortification, it is incredible to witness how God will then imbue that soul with a sense of direction. And so, prayer. First, formal prayer, we know, of course, and we've talked about this a little bit in our question and answer session, but formal prayer, those prayers that we most often pray with our lips, we say out loud, are absolutely necessary. There's a formula. They're usually those prayers that we know by rote, the rosary maybe being the greatest example of formal prayer that we pray on a daily basis. And this is so necessary that we set time aside. This is God's time. This is time for Him, time for His Blessed Mother. And it is necessary. Though there is a bit of a hold up here. We only have so much time in the day, and we only have so much ability to divide our attention. And so we can't be praying all the time. At least, that's what we think. We can't, it's true, we can't be praying formally all the time. God expects us to be taking care of our duties, the children, the household, whatever our vocation is, we can't be always saying prayers. But I would like to, particularly in this conference, emphasize a different kind of prayer. It's one, I believe, it really can't be emphasized enough. It is truly a miracle pill in the spiritual life. It is something that can help us instantly if we can manage to make it happen, and that is familiar prayer, conversational prayer, simply talking to God or talking to our Blessed Mother or our favorite saints or our guardian angel. This is something I've always known about this kind of prayer. I can't say always, but I'm sure that I've been told about it many, many times, read about it, I'm sure. But for myself, it wasn't until a couple of years ago that it really struck me. And there was a man that I met. He had recently made quite a conversion. He had turned away from a very, very wicked life and went full bore into his conversion. He was so determined to make amends for the many past wicked years. And he asked me that one time, like, "Father, I want your advice here. I read," he said, he talked about the book from St. Alphonsus, How to Converse Continually and Familiarly with God. I read that little book, and St. Alphonsus is telling us to talk to God all the time, right? Right. So, is it wrong for me to stand in the aisle at the grocery store and I'm trying to pick out what brand of olive oil to buy, and I say, "Dear Lord, which brand of olive oil should I buy?" Okay, that's a silly question. But anyway, Blessed Mother, God is so good for preserving your virginity. I'm going to take the extra virgin olive oil. And it's like, okay. So it made me laugh too, but it also was striking. This man is trying to follow to the T what St. Alphonsus wrote about. And he would say, "Yeah, whether it's something good or bad, maybe even something silly, I just feel called to talk to God about it." Maybe being in a traffic jam. The cars back up. Put on your brakes. Maybe even put the car into park. Well, Lord, I'm not in a hurry. So thank you for this little test of patience. It's, you know, I'm going to say a rosary for all those people that are probably really upset about this. And just no matter the situation, ask for help. Talk to God. Even comment. You see someone walking down the street who looks particularly strange? Lord, they look pretty strange. Send them a little help, please. Little tiny things like that. If we can make that our constant frame of mind, how could we go wrong? If our mind and our heart and even our lips are always finding direction and purpose with Almighty God and the things of God, we will never go astray. Now, to just a little bit more on that, this man had asked me, is it wrong to say it out loud? Most of us think, well, just say the prayer in your mind and that's good enough. It's like, but I like to say it out loud because, well, I guess people think I'm crazy. But is I'm crazy for God? Is that okay? Of course that's okay. So maybe we can even add that to our habit. Sacred Scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, who cares if we look a little bit crazy, if it's being crazy for God? But this form of prayer, it has to be really and truly the secret of the saints. There are so many books written about keeping our Lord in mind, having that constant recollection of God's presence. But that's a problem, is that we're so forgetful. We'll go about our day and we just forget about God so quickly and so easily. We're social beings. God made us that way. It's a natural thing for us to talk. And so if we are talking to God as much as possible, we won't forget about him. The saints and the sacred writers, they all point to, or they distill holiness, that great, all-encompassing word, holiness. That's what it is to be, to get to heaven, to become a saint. That's our one goal in life, to become holy. And what is holiness but union with God? That's how they describe it. That's their definition. Holiness is union with God. And so if we can be one in mind and one in heart by using the tools that God gave us, our lips, we will have that union with God, which is the joy and the glory of heaven itself. This is really a simple way to love God more, to form a greater friendship, a more perfect union with our Lord. Just talk with him, always, about everything. Now, I want to add to this the second part of that twofold mechanism to call down God's grace into our soul. Prayer is first, but very closely connected to prayer is penance or mortification. And we've already spoken of this, I believe, a little bit. But what do we do for mortification? Again, the sky is the limit. Our imaginations can help furnish us with all sorts of things. But first and foremost, our daily duty. Our Blessed Mother told us there is no penance that is better. This is the penance that is most pleasing to our Divine Son. And so, wouldn't we be able to do our daily duty, those regular old, the things that come around every single day that don't seem exciting at all? But if we can start forming that habit of, okay, well, getting the kids up and dressed and fed, do it alongside our Blessed Mother, who woke up and dressed and fed her Divine Son. Talk with her about it. Think about it maybe while you're doing it. We can sanctify our daily duty. We can remember that it is a penance. We're accomplishing something great here. So they do need to be together, prayer and penance. And what an encouraging thought that we don't necessarily have to go and seek out all of these extreme penances, but they're really rather built in. One thing, speaking about that combination of daily duty and those fairly constant crosses and trying to pray all the time. This is a story in the life of Saint Teresa of Avila. I'm sure we're familiar with this, but it's a quaint little reminder that our Lord, even to a certain degree, he wants us to complain to him, and of course complain with love. But Saint Teresa of Avila was later in her life, I believe, and she was already suffering from health problems, and her travels were really extreme. She would travel from one convent to the other, always helping the order of the Carmelites, accomplishing just amazing things. She was on her way on this particularly arduous journey, and her horse bucked her, and she fell off the horse, and I believe she broke her leg. And what was Saint Teresa's reaction? Lord, no wonder you have so few friends. Look at the way you treat them. Only, of course, the audacity that a saint could have. But no doubt, with this complaint, our Lord had to smile. So, though we, of course, have those moments where we feel like it's difficult to go on. Things are piling up. When it rains, it pours. That sort of situation. Our Lord wants to hear from us. Complain a little bit, but in the right way. Lord, this is difficult. At least give me the strength to bear it. If we can learn to really talk with our Lord from our heart, we can be certain that we will start to hear him talk back. Again, this is the secret of the saints. It's how they improved that spiritual sense of direction. It's why they never worried, because they knew they were giving their all to God. He was never going to lead them astray. In fact, they could count on his directions. If we can hear him clearly and talk to him constantly, asking for direction, we will never lose our way. Now, before ending this conference talk, I, of course, need to talk a little bit about the holy angels. These wonderful, wonderful helpers. And this is a habit of prayer that we hopefully can include. We talk, of course, with our Lord, with our Blessed Mother, with the angels and the saints. But I feel like particularly we should try to make a constant habit of talking to our guardian angel. So we've read, we've heard now probably quite a bit of the goodness, the beauty of this celestial guide that has been given to us. To go back to the metaphor for a second, we cannot possibly have a GPS that is as accurate as our guardian angel or as helpful. But our guardian angels are there at all times to give us direction and help. I wanted to talk just a little bit, or even to read a little bit from that book from Father Boudin. And maybe this is one that you have read from the book, I'm not sure, but I want to read this part because it gives the different duties, at least a little summary of what the different duties and abilities of the choirs of angels may be. And this is, of course, taken from hints given in sacred scripture and no doubt in great part taken from tradition. But it's a great reminder that, you know, we want to think of our guardian angel, but also the rest of the angels. If we're suffering with a particular thing, well, we know the benefit of asking a particular saint who maybe had that struggle. They may be better suited to deal, to intercede for you in that way. Well, same with the choirs of angels. Maybe we can think of, holy choir of thrones, help me. So this is what Father Boudin says of first the seraphim, that they are the princes of pure love. And this, of course, makes sense as they are the highest of the choirs. They stand directly around the throne of God. So we could pray to the seraphim at any time. Ask them to help us love God more and to purify our intentions. Of the cherubim, he says, they are great doctors of the science of the saints. So if we want to illumine our understanding, if we want to follow the saints, maybe we can pray to the cherubim that they can teach us, as they are doctors of this science. The thrones, patrons of true repose of soul and tranquil peace of heart. This is one that we almost certainly need to ask for regularly true repose of soul and tranquil peace of heart. How often are we disturbed by our own faults and failings, the evil of the world, the problems in our families, etc.? Ask the thrones to help settle our emotions, to give us that true repose. The dominations, he says, they will teach you to become masters of yourselves, raising you above all created things by an intimate union with the Creator. Their name denotes domination, that we will have mastery over our lower self. Remember, we were talking about the rider and the donkey. If we want to achieve a complete mastery over our lower nature, pray to the dominations that they intercede for us. The virtues, masters of the ways of holy perfection. This is perhaps, if we don't have much actual sin to worry about, what a blessing from God that is. But we say we go to confession and we're not really sure what to confess. But we know that we can do better somehow. Well, pray to the virtues, that they enlighten our mind to see where we need improvement, that we can make ourselves even more perfect. The powers, defenders against malice, the malice, rage, and power of the devils. We certainly need this now, I believe, more than ever, having watched that frightening film, Nefarious. We see a little bit the malice and the power of Satan and how he has really had his way in our current society. So, we pray especially to the powers that they defend us against these evil, selfish spirits. Principalities, watch so diligently over the welfare of kingdoms, states, and those who govern. The principalities can perhaps help our country, any country in the world, or even our own state. We know, of course, the terrible situation in worldwide politics. Ask the principalities. Perhaps they can exercise more of their power if we pray. The archangels. Father Boudin says that these angels are zealous for the common good, and we receive at their hands benefits without number. It's almost as if Father Boudin is trying to say they're the equivalent of Renaissance men, that they can do it all, which I suppose is logical if we take those three names that we know so well, St. Michael, St. Gabriel, and St. Raphael. How varied were their talents, were their the exercise of their power in helping men. And of course, the angels. They are like the stars, whose celestial influence we feel the more often because they are nearer to us, watching over the good of each one of us in particular, with an ineffable love and care. And so, yes, the lowest choir of angels, we may say, but particularly dear to us because they are ours and we are theirs. My dear friends in Christ, let's make sure if at any point we feel ourselves waver on the road, we feel ourselves becoming worn out or discouraged in our journey toward heaven, we call on the holy angels. We learn to talk to them as we learn to talk with God constantly in a familiar way. Just simple conversation. We can be certain, absolutely certain, if we make this a habit in our life, we will grow in our love of God. And with His grace, someday, maybe sooner, maybe later, but someday we will be counted among the saints and the angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.